Hallelujah. You know, the word tells us that the enemy searches out those to devour them. He searches those who are not humble. He searches those who are prideful. And the word says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that you may be exalted in due time. He also says he gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud. And in that, we've got to be very careful in these days. Because in that, we can be either an exposer of darkness or a promoter of darkness. And God says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. So there are many things that are being revealed by God in the area and the unveiled truths that have been being released. And these unveiled truths are now that we're in the third dimension or come forth in the first dimension for God's people. That's why it's so important to stay filled with the Spirit of God. It's important to stay humble. It's important that that's why Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow me must first deny himself. You know, the carnal mind is always going to come against the things of God. This is where it's going to take discipline and consistency. This is where you're not going to do because you feel like it or you don't feel like it. You do it because it pleases him. So in this, it is important because what happens is individuals get put out of position by the powers of darkness because they get caught up in the arena of emotion, self, fear, and pride. And it's important that we stand fast in everything that's happening right now. Because there's going to be a lot more things that are going to be happening. And we cannot be moved. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their what? Of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now this is very, very important. He says you've not understood the anointing. You've not understood, you've not comprehended the third dimension that God is bringing. You've not comprehended and accepted, received, or utilized the third dimensional weapons, the third dimensional truths that God has brought to us. He said, you've not learned Christ. In verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. I want you to grab something whole. This is powerful because he is not talking about the arena of the outside of Jesus. He's talking about the inside of Jesus, who is called the Christ. Are you listening? The shell of Jesus was the Word of God. The Word became what? Flesh. But he's saying the unveiled truth that is in Jesus is called the Christ. Because the Christ is association with the Anointed One and his anointing. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty brought forth in this vessel that God made from the Word out of the dust and put in him his presence, his truth, and his power. So when you look at Jesus, that's why he said, if you see me, you see the Father. Because Jesus was the shell. He was the host of the anointing called the Christ. Is everybody with me? Praise God. He said in verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your what? Your former conduct. Now, let me ask you this. Your former conduct was not to worship God. Your former conduct was to be rebellious. Your former conduct was about self. Your former conduct was about greed. Your former conduct was about building your own empire. Your former conduct was words that came out of your mouth. Your former conduct. He said, listen, you've not learned Christ then. You're not understanding the anointing. You're not understanding the price that's been given for me and you. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So who's to put him on? Where, and who's to take off the old? So that means you have a choice. Hello? See, I don't hang around with people that don't have that choice. You want to make a choice to do the right, to walk with God, man, I'm with you. You want to make a choice not to? See ya. Go ahead, go your way. Go in that cycle. Go eat some more dirt till you choose to do the right thing. Amen. In verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the what? To the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give whom has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve what? The Holy Spirit of God, by which whom you were what? Sealed. You are marked by God Almighty. For what? The day of what? Redemption. And that day isn't here yet, but it's coming. So you've been sealed in preparation for the redemption that is coming. In verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So he's saying, learn Christ. You didn't learn him, because if you learned him, you'd be putting off the old man. You know how many people say they know Jesus, but they don't put off the old man? Because they haven't learned yet. They really don't know him. Because when you know him, you know that the old man interferes with you and him. And you'll do everything you can to keep the old man away. Because you know that the old man will come between you and God. So if you really know him and you really love him, you'll do everything you can to keep the old man behind you and not between you and God. Here it is. He says, so in Jesus, the unveiled truth, the third dimensional truth, who it says that Jesus was sealed by God. And in this, that word sealed, in which it says, we just read that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit, it means approved. Accepted. All heaven is behind you. And not only that, is in the area you've been approved to decree and go forth to be sent. You are backed by God. Jesus was the first broken seal. We talked about this Sunday. And in this is the seal that was broke, because when you break a seal, it means that you're opening up something to decree or release. To release or activate. So Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. He was sealed by God. And in this sealing by God Almighty, he was broke, and he was broke on the cross. And on the cross, he was the first seal to be broke. And in this, things were released. His spirit that now carries the ministry of Christ, because he's the anointing, and his blood that washes me and you so we can have access to all things and have forgiveness of sin, and be cleansed through the blood of Christ. So when Jesus was broken as for the first seal, What was released was grace, which is God's plan. Again, God gives grace to the humble. He gives what? Grace, his plan is released to the humble. He rejects the proud. He holds back his plan to the proud till they become humble. So in this, God's plan is released once the seal is broken and there's a decree gone forth. The day of redemption is a special day. In other words, we've been sealed for the day of redemption. It is a special day when Christ redeems not only his people, but the world. And that day will come. Go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Broken seals. God gives grace to the humble and he rejects the proud. In other words, grace, God's plan is released to the humble and his judgment is released to the proud. And hopefully the judgment will rescue the individual from his wrath. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, and he's talking about Lucifer. You are the what? You are the what? Seal of perfection. Remember, Lucifer was sealed by God. He was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. In other words, he was there when God did creation. You are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. In other words, he exalted himself above God. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you, all who knew you among the peoples. Are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now that hasn't happened yet, has it? No, so there's threefold in this prophetic word. He talks about past, present, and future here. And in this, you got to understand that Lucifer was the seal of perfection approved by God. His disapproval by God, that means God broke a seal, his seal. He removed his seal from him. And when the seal is removed, a decree has gone forth for judgment. Has everybody got this? When a seal is removed or broke, a decree goes forth for judgment. And if there isn't reconciliation, wrath. So when we break covenant with God, we actually break the seal. Has everybody got it? And a decree goes forth. Did you ever notice that when you break covenant with God, things get worse? Unless you repent real quick. Because it's judgment before his wrath. Has everybody got it? Right now, the world's in judgment. The whole earth is under judgment right now. in preparation for his wrath. Warning, 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 warning. Judgment. So we know that his judgment, that the end result would be cast out of position as the praise and worship leader, which happened already. And eventually God's going to destroy him. It says that he was removed from the mountain of God, which at that period of time was known as the earth. But in the future, he'll be removed from the mountain of God, which is going to be known as Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a place where the Lord will rule the earth from. But the Bible tells us that Lucifer will go to the temple there as Satan and proclaim himself as God. And God is going to remove him from there also. Does everybody understand that? Because the Lord's going to set up his millennium and he will rule from Mount Zion. Let's go to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. In verse 11. Isaiah 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Look at 16. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my what? My disciples. I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in where? Mount Zion. So in this, it says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. In other words, his disciples are what? Sealed. They are marked. They've been sealed by the hand of God. They are approved. 1 Corinthians 9. In verse 1, let's read this. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the what? Seal of my what? Apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Understand again that in this he says, you are the seal of my what? Apostleship. So understand, this is so important, because when you are sealed, you are considered apostleship. In other words, in this, we are being taught. We are being trained up. We are servants of the Lord. There is seals on God's disciples. So there is a seal on you. And one thing we don't want to do is break that seal. Because when that seal is broken, what comes? Judgment. Judgment. And so many times people don't realize that judgment comes. The word says that judgment begins in the what? House of God, because he's preparing his people. Go to Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel 9, verse Ezekiel chapter 9. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn on his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the Lord God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." In other words, the Lord said, go out and mark the ones that have been humbled, that are now weeping over the wickedness of their own people, because their people have turned their back to God. He said, every single one that you see sighing and weeping and interceding, I want you to go mark. Is everybody okay? In verse 5, he said, and to the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and what? Kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, "Ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnants of Israel in pouring of your fury on Jerusalem?" Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see." The Lord does not what? See. "And as for me also, my eye will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head." Just then the man clothed with linen, who had inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, "I have done as you commanded me." Now this is important because of the judgment of God. Not only when a seal is broke, judgment comes, but also if you are sealed when judgment comes, you are also protected. Does everybody got it? Because you are marked by God that nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. It's amazing now how many people, I have people come up to me and ask me about, well, what about what's getting ready to happen? And all kinds of, I said, man, you know what? You know, keep your seal clean, you know, so that way God can see it. Hello. See, if you are sealed by God, you got nothing to worry about. So when judgment comes, you got nothing to worry about. I didn't say he won't correct you or chasten you, because he does that. But because we are sealed, we escape the judgment. But when a seal is broken, we are under judgment. Now, he talked about the mark on the forehead, right? Now, everybody's going, oh, man. But in the book of Revelation, it talks about the mark on the forehead. Doesn't the devil copycat everything God tries to do? Hello? So, He turns everything around. He turns everything upside down. He tries to copy everything the Lord does, except for he does it in the area where it's unrighteous. Unrighteous. Go to Job 37. Job 37 and verse 1. Let's read this together. Job 37, verse 1. And at this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the gentle rain and heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man. He does what? He seals the what? The hand. So we know that right now he talked about sealing the forehead and sealing the hand. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. The beasts go into dens and remain in their lairs. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the skittering winds of the north. By the breath of God, ice is given, and broad waters are frozen. Also with moisture, he saturates the thick clouds. He scatters his bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Now, in this he says he seals the what? The hand. So we talked about sealing the forehead and sealing the hand. And we know again that the word tells us in the book of Revelation, if you'll go there to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. In verse 11, Revelation 13, verse 11. And we're going to be coming back on some of this stuff later, but not all tonight. In verse 11, he says, and I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. These are empires. These are not just some kind of a physical beast. These are Satan's empires that come forth. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by a sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be what? Killed. Now, this image of the beast would be the logo. This will be the logo. You know, so many people are thinking some beast is going to be come up, and this is symbolic. It is the image is a logo. It is the logo of Satan's army. These beasts are known as Satan's Antichrist army that's coming up. And his logo will be known as the image of the beast. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a what? Mark on the right hand and on their what? Foreheads. Again, this mark, and we'll talk about this mark later, but I don't want to talk about it tonight because we're going to get more into this later. So that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So I want you to understand that 666, even though so many people freak out over 666 as being a satanic number, but there's a specific meaning, because first of all, six means man. It means things that came from the spirit realm into the natural realm. It's also associated with rulership. And the area will become one world economy, one world religion, and one world government. And in it, its rule will be from the beast that comes from the earth, which will be known as Satan's kingdom. And he will have a logo. There will be a specific logo. And we'll, like I said, we'll talk more about this later, because I don't want to get fully into this tonight, but I just want you to understand that even Satan's kingdom will have a specific seal. In fact, they will desire the seal, but the seal is going to bring them eternal damnation. It will not free them. In fact, it will bring the wrath of God on them. Hello? It will bring what? The wrath of God. And this seal is associated with banners and so forth and badges. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And once that seal has been placed on an individual, it cannot be broke. Has everybody got it? It cannot be broke. It cannot be removed. That seal is permanent with an individual. That person is permanently damned forever. No escaping. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having what? This seal, the Lord knows those who are what? His. Why? Because you've been sealed. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Why? Because the seal can be broke. Amen? And then what will happen? Judgment. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. So there's a preparation, isn't there? So God knows those who are his by the what? The seal. Revelation 5. Broken seals. Now, I want you to know, if you trip and fall, you're not going to break your seal. If you bounce off a wall or get slain in the spirit and do a couple Holy Ghost rollers, you will not break your seal. Your seal is broken by covenant breaking. And Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 1. Let's read this. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with what? Seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel. This is not just a messenger. He is a warrior. Proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals or loose its decrees? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Why? Because he allowed his... grab hold of this. Because he was the first seal that was broke. Has everybody got that? But he was broke for me and you. He took God's judgment and wrath on himself. The word tells us that God smitten his own son. He took everything on the cross for me and you. That's why he is worthy now to break the seals and decree what's written in the scrolls. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that is in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So worthy to open or break the seals because he was the first one, he was the first seal to be broke because he took on God's judgment for me and you. So he was the only one who would be able to break the seals. Amen. And we know that in this, the number seven, because there are seven seals, and in the seven meaning complete and perfect. And every seal is associated with a trumpet, a trump of God, and a bowl. A trump and a bowl. And I want to go to Revelation 6, and verse 1. Let's read this. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Another crown was given to him. He didn't earn it. It was given to him. Are you listening? Then he opened the second seal. Now I want you to understand that these seals, when they are open, a scroll is opened. And then a decree goes forth. Once a decree goes forth, the wrath and judgment doesn't start until a trumpet is blown. When the trumpet is blown, then things begin to happen, and then the wrath of God comes forth, poured out by the bowls. But we're not going to go to every single one. The whole purpose about what's happening is there's only one that is worthy to break the rest of the seals. And to get an understanding that you have a seal, and you don't want it broke. And if your seal is broke during that period of time, during tribulation, Without repentance and reconciliation, you will go through the wrath of God. Let's read this on a little further. Let's go to verse 3 again. And when he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now, I know you don't want to be here during this. Let's go to the third one. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do no harm to the oil and the wine." And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them. In other words, Satan's military, the demons from hell, were released to come to the surface of the earth and possess those who had not the seal of God. Are you listening? And they became a part of the military of Satan. Is everybody okay? And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So even the animals will begin to turn against man. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Then I looked, and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great what? Earthquake. A great what? Earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. Each mountain and island was moved out of its place. Let me tell you, this is a heck of an earthquake. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men and commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So we see that these seals are the final decrees of the judgment and wrath of God. And the seventh seal that is broken is in Revelation 8. In Revelation 8, in verse 1, "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them it was given" what? "Seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood in the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there was noises, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And I'm not going to go into the trumpets. So we see here that in the seventh seal with judgments and wrath was to be spoken before the trumpets, right? So all the seals that were broke were decreed. Each decree had a trumpet and a bowl associated with it. Now, there's something very important here because he talks about an earthquake. An earthquake. And one of the things in these broken seals, which is God's judgments and wraths, in this, you know, we're talking about the seven seals, but there are things that God has decreed already. When Jesus was here on the earth, he made decrees. Does everybody got it? Why? Because he was the seal, wasn't he? And he was the broken seal. So when he was here on the earth, he was making decrees already. And this is before even the seven seals of Revelation for the 7 years would be released. So when Jesus was here on the earth, he was already making decrees of judgment in hope that mankind would turn before his wrath. And in this, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Well, we can start at verse 4. And Jesus answered, and, well, let's start at verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age. And he's talking about the end of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and what? Earthquakes. In where? Various places. Earthquakes. Jesus spoke this. Do you understand that? So from this time forward, he said these things are going to come. Now watch, he says in the next verse. And these are the what? Beginning of what? Sorrows, you know, when or what we call birth pangs. So I want you to grab hold of this, that birth pangs are earthquakes. Birth pangs are what? Earthquakes. Why? Because the earth is designed to be redeemed also, isn't it? Jesus gave us the signs here. You know, he rebuked his Pharisees and Sadducees and many people. He says, man, you can discern the signs of when it's time to go fishing. You can discern when it's a good weather. But why do you not discern the signs of the time? And the signs of the time, he was talking about three important things. And what were they? Famines, pestilence, and what? Earthquakes. Earthquakes. Why? Because birth pangs are earthquakes. Because we're moving toward redemption or deliverance of the world. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Is everybody there? In verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. The sound of the noise from the city, the voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? shall the earth be made to give birth in one day. In other words, wow. Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her child. So who's he talking about? Zion, right? He's calling Zion, the place of his dwelling, a she. Why? Because he is the bridegroom and Israel is his bride. We are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom of Christ. But in this, he's talking about the birth pangs from the earth. Why? Because birth pangs are associated with earthquakes. In verse 9, and the word tells it that Israel will be saved. Things will happen in one day. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied when the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Again, the greatest earthquake will come and bring birth. Because when the Lord touches this earth and dwells from Zion, just remember when he rose from the dead, wasn't there what? A huge earthquake? When he comes, everything's going to be shattered. I want you to grab hold of this, because in this, when this final earthquake hits, everything is going to be shattered. Everything. And you and I will return to rebuild the earth. Hello? Isaiah 13. Some of you are like, oh, really? Isaiah 13 and verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel. Let me tell you, in the day of his judgment, he does not hold back. It's over. And the day, it's a day of his wrath. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. Did you ever see an earthquake when things, when the earth quakes, all kinds of things happen. When things bust, buildings fall, all kinds of things happen. Can you imagine such an earthquake that the mountains will melt? Everything will be leveled. The earth will be shot off of its axis. It will be moved out of place. It's almost like shaking the ocean. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. Why? Because of the mist of all the clouds and all the destruction. It will cover everything. And the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold. Thank God we'll be immortal. A man more than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth will move out of her place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger, it shall be as the haunted gazelle. And as the sheep that no man takes up, every man will turn to his own people and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. The children will also be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, and I will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also, their bulls will dash the young men in pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabians pitch tents there. Nor will the shepherds make their sheep holds there. But wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their homes will be full of owls, or ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in the citadels, and the jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. This is the day of the Lord. Revelation 12. In verse 13, Revelation 12, 13. Now when a dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, who is the woman besides? Now we know physically it was Mary, but she's not there. Hello? So who is it? Israel or Zion? But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the what? The earth helped. How did the earth help? Earthquake. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offsprings who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? Because earthquakes is a sign of birth pangs. Does everybody got it? Now, I want to share something with you which is very important. And you can write this down statistically. Kate and I were watching a documentary, and I'm telling you, when I saw the statistics of this, it blew me away. From 1 AD to 1000 AD, there was 15 earthquakes. That's one in every 66 years. From 1000 AD to 1800 AD, there was one earthquake every 7 years. From 1800 to 1900, there was an earthquake every 10 months. From 1900 to 1980, there's an earthquake, and I'm talking heavy-duty earthquakes, 7.0 or greater. From 1900 to 1980, there was one every 37 days. Why? Because these are the signs, aren't they? He said, when these earthquakes can increase and increase and increase, you know I'm coming. From the year 1980 to 2000, there was one every 28 days, 7.5 or above. From the year 2000 to 2008, there was one every 26 days. From the year 2008 to 2009, there was one every 21 days. Come on, are you listening? From the year 2009 to 2010, there's one every 16 days. In the year 2011, from January to April, there's one every 13 days. Earthquakes are a sign of birth pangs. It's a representation of the Lord coming. In Revelation 16, and verse 17. Revelation 16, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his what? His bowl. Remember, seals, trumpets, and bowls. So this is the last one, isn't it? The bowl, the wrath of God poured out now. This is it. The seal was broken. It was decreed. The trumpet sounded, which we know was association with gathering, battle, and warning. And the bowl was poured out. Now the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great what? Earthquake. Such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since man were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Why? Everything was wiped out from this earthquake. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about a weight of a talent, which is around 100 pounds, something like that. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Again, this is when the Lord returns in this, everything will be desolate. And we will return to rebuild the earth. And that's what we'll be doing in the millennium. Isaiah 24. And we'll close here. Isaiah 24. We will talk about the mark, but not tonight. Does everybody get a revelation how close we are? One earthquake every 13 days ever since January. I'm talking a major earthquake every 13 days. Has everybody got it? Wow. And it's increasing now. Isaiah 24, 17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the hosts of the exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced, and the sun ashamed, and the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders gloriously. So this is so important because, you know, so many people just don't grab hold of what's really going to happen. It's going to be devastating. Man will not be able to handle it. That's why we are called. That's why we have purpose. And that's why we have destiny. Broken seals. Only one has the right to break those seals. Again, don't break your seal. Your seal will be acknowledged by God. But there is another seal that is sealed by the devil. And we'll talk about that later. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, Master, we ask for your mercies and grace. Give us revelation and impartation. And I pray that the fear of the Lord will continue to increase in each and every one of us, that we may be prepared for what you have for us and bring glory to your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.